Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 7, book 1, text 100. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasam abhave purvam me vasato matura pure vivaha karane kachit ichapyasin namamini. My dear proud lady, when living in Mathura Puri without the gopis, I at first had no desire to marry. Commentary: Krishna is now less hesitant to mention to his queens the gopis of Vraja, since the queens have already been drawn to thinking about them. In this verse, therefore, he dares to use the feminine construction tasam abhave in the absence of those women. But he still refrains from mentioning the names of Sri Radhika and the other gopis. Om jnana timirandasya jnanam jana shulakaya taktu mritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Vairagya yubhakti visham payatnaya apayama manabipsa mandam ritam buhiya paradhuka dhugi Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyam Pancha Kaupa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, excuse me, greetings from New Jersey. I spent the week, at least a good part of the week, at Professor Bryant's place. He's an old friend of mine, initiated name is Vaibhu, for maybe 30 years since we lived together in the ashram in Vrindavan. Late 70s, early 80s. Very nice Vaishnava. And he allowed me to teach his classes for the day. And Rutgers is a very unique university for the receptivity, the potential receptivity of the people to Eastern thought, not just the high percentage of people from India. It's just different places have different mixtures of receptivity or a culture or whatever. But very, very receptive place. In fact, Gail, who's one of the prominent members on the Sangha, that's where I met her. And recently, 3 weeks ago at the lecture I gave at Yogamaya, this one author, he writes books for Mangala Media, which published A Journey Home, and he also has a Ayurvedic health clinic. We also met him at Rutgers. And when Radhanath Swami was there last year with the Mayapuris, 500 students came to the lecture in Kirtan, and 500 students were dancing. And I remember back in the days in Tulaco, where our brahmacharis had a club there, and I thought it was so unique that in their dhotis, with a program of prasadam, Bhagavad Gita, and kirtan, they could have a club that was well attended by very, very cool people who weren't even devotees, who became officers of the club. So it's a very, very unique place. And now Professor Bryant is there, and he gave me that opportunity to speak. He's the first class in the morning was a seminar of 15 very nice people, some extremely bright. It was a seminar, and I had 3 hours. Their reading assignment was the Eastern Division of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And I got some personal satisfaction. I only had an hour to prepare. I had a conceptualization of that whole Eastern Division. Of course, I wrote that book, Waves of Devotion. And a depth of insight that was very much appreciated on the academic level, even by Professor Bryant. And true to her nature, Gail somehow managed to be sitting in the class and also relishing, you know. And it was great, you know, because, a scholar puts things in context. So I describe, you know, I started going to the Eastern Division, and the 7th through 8th verse gives a summary that there's different how Rupa Goswami divided it as an ocean with divisions. And I describe what the divisions are, what the waves are in the divisions, how they're connected, and then got down to the 4 waves of Eastern Division, briefly explained that, and then getting to a summary of them. So it was really edifying. The people really appreciated it. And so that was really nice. And then I waited a couple of hours on the university. And one second. My voice is somehow, I'm losing it. I'm just going to get some throat lozenge. Actually, I have a cell phone, so while I do this, I can kind of move around. And the evening, the afternoon class is, I guess, on Hindu philosophy. And it's like 250 students. There's a stage. Mahamuni, who graduated from there, is probably quite familiar with what it looks like, but I guess it's common to the university. It's a big lecture hall, auditorium. So my assignment in the class was, for that class, is the students had read Shankaracharya. So my job was to refute it. So I was feeling personally very satisfied just in my relationship to my own tradition, that the things that I've cultivated, understood, and had some realization on were accepted and relevant in the university atmosphere. And I maintained the integrity of that atmosphere, but that was my assignment. So it was also nice, before the class, I got to call up Mahamuni, because his thesis is on Nyaya, which is a theistic tradition that argues, one of the things that do is argue against Shankaracharya. So it was very nice. I mean, basically, Shankaracharya, and this I discussed with Mahamuni, the history of it, but basically he was trying to make sense or try to reconcile the Upanishadic statements that describe Brahman as all-inclusive. Their discussion of personal gods and for various reasons, his reconciliation of that fact is that
it must all be a product of illusion. Anyway, I don't want to get into detail, but very summarily studied among many arguments I gave, but the two arguments, and I believe this is from Nyaya, and if I don't represent the tradition as clearly as it should be, at the end, Mahamuni can make some comments. Basically, Shankaracharya is saying that any distinction must be illusion. So the question the Nyayak is asked, then what is the support or basis of that illusion? Illusion means that something is an illusion. So what is an illusion? And if you say it's the jivas of the living entities, but according to their philosophy, that's also a product of illusion. So that can't be the support and basis of illusion. So their only answer has to come down that it's Brahman that's an illusion, and that has so many problems. Because already that's a distinction. And it's illogical. How can Brahman be an illusion? The other argument is how do you account for the duality in the Shastra? For example, the Bhagavad Gita, where there's Krishna speaking to Arjuna. So to hold true to their views, to have integrity according to their premises, then Shankaracharya has to also say that that's also illusion, more or less. I don't want to discount that they may have more subtleties, but basically it comes down to that must also be illusion. So then what's the consistency with commenting on the texts and giving any valid in trying to explain them? If they're all duality. Anyway, it was just edifying. It was just edifying to be able to do that. And in 2 weeks, Raghunath Swami is going to be visiting and having a dialogue with Cornel West, who is a very, very prominent intellectual and professor at Princeton University, at least nationally, if not world famous. And he'll also be teaching that seminar in that class. And the students are studying Bhagavad Gita, and the required reading is Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, which is kind of nice. And I think Radhanath Swami at that time, the students will be, they'll have to cover the middle six chapters on bhakti. So it's very, 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 very edifying. And I don't know if I'm giving advertisements now, but if anyone's around in New York City at 6:15 this evening, I'm giving my monthly satsang at Yoga Maya. And I'm going to be speaking on the heart of the yogi, the power of humility. I've been working on it all week. I'm pretty excited about developing that. Okay, now let's get to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I really have a sense of a steady, regular audience. So I'm hopefully the context will only be to give you a context of the subject will only be enough to bring you back to last week and not to the beginning of the course. But we're on the part where Krishna is upset with Satyabhama because she hadn't appreciated his love for the gopis. And Krishna was describing to her why he's so attached to them. And that's an expression of Krishna's supreme love for the residents of Vrindavan and the gopis. But basically, he describes how they have the special ecstasy of Vrahabhav. And he describes their love in terms of the degree of separation they're feeling. And that's a good way to describe love. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. famous English expression. And it's extreme. He can't go, they're so in a mood of separation and so sensitive, which is constitutional to them. It's constitutional. It's one of the embankments, according to union, in addition to union, which creates the boundaries, the embankments which with the river of prema flows. And in many, many ways, Krishna describes the extreme level of attachment. If, you know, if you were just a novelist and were asked, can you describe the greatest love? I don't think anyone could come up with a better description than Krishna's description of the degree of love that is found in the residence of Vrindavan. And I think the last verse that described this was there, how if they see a patch of darkness that resembles his complexion, they mistake it for him and embrace it and kiss it. He said, what more can I describe? Do you know how deep their love is? If they see a shadow, they kiss, they try to kiss and embrace the shadow because it reminds them of me. And their level of love is so sensitive that they even think it's me. Prema Vivarta. Love to the highest degree is having visions of your beloved even when your beloved is not there, due to the excitement of the slightest resemblance. Krishna is dark as shadow. They embrace it. They kiss it. Uddhava saw this love when he came to Vrindavan in Uddhava Kari. Uddhava Kari is where Uddhava came with the message for the gopis and saw the gopis in this Mahabhav, ecstatic love, prati jalpa. They're talking mad. Radharani is talking to a black bumblebee, thinking it's black. It must come from Krishna. That bumblebee must come from Krishna. Many years ago, we asked Narayan Maharaj something like, which of, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta's disciples or something are really into Braja Bhakti Rasa? I forgot what the question was. But one of the persons that he mentioned, at least in his life, was someone called Janardhan Maharaj. And I went with him and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Burijan Prabhu, a few others, maybe Govinda Maharaj, I forgot. And for many, many years, these places were flooded. You could never get to Terkadamba. I think I may be the first ISKCON devotee ever to go to Terkadamba because we had to go up to our waist and below the water with thorns. It was very difficult to get there. Now you can kind of drive there by Rishikesh Baba's mercy. He's kind of made it accessible. But Uddhava Kari is often underwater also. But somehow or other, and it's a place that is enriched with that mood of separation. Whether it's inherent in the soil, or whether we project it from our consciousness because it reminds us of that pastime, course, that's the view, is that it's inherent. But we saw this Janardana. He was sitting there chanting with tears in his eyes, feeling that mood of separation. So this is the highest love that's being described, and it's the highest ecstasy. It's the greatest mercy, because the greatest mercy is the greatest love, which is the greatest separation. Which is the greatest happiness. The greatest mercy is the greatest love, which is the greatest happiness. Or the greatest happiness is the greatest love, which is the greatest mercy. And that's what this book is about. It's about the topmost recipients of Krishna's mercy. And here it is. They are mad for Krishna. They are mad for Krishna. Just a little kind of New York story, mad for Krishna. I met devotees in California with my friend Jan, who's still a good friend of mine. He does service. He's an immigration lawyer, and he helps the Bhakti Center. And very, very, very nice person. Intelligent, moral person. We met devotees in San Francisco, Los Angeles, California, 1970. My faith was awakened. And the faith is that eternal nature of the soul, and sometimes you get Abbas, Namabas, you get a reflection of that spiritual reality of Krishna and your feelings for Krishna in your heart. An association of things which are in connection with Krishna when the heart doesn't have the mood of offense. And sometimes when you come, it's most suited to them. And somehow or other, that surge of love, that surge of devotion, it created a goal in my life that I have to pursue, even when the devotion is sometimes subsided or covered or external circumstances create challenges. So I came back to New York. Some of you won't believe that, but in that time, you only made local calls. Any call outside of New York City, it was AT&T monopoly. You know, you call New Jersey, it's like 80 cents a minute. You know, I went to school in Binghamton. There were other famous classmates, Sariputta, the scientist, my friend went to Stony Brook. So we didn't see each other. And when I came back from Thanksgiving, I called him. This is after we came back from California. I said, "Are you still into this?" And then he described how he was with his friend. He came back and told his friend Bob Campagnola, who later became Hari Kesh, about Krishna consciousness. I played against Hari Kesha. I used to play soccer. He was on the opposite team. He told me the story how Hari Kesha joined. You know, he was into it, but he went to the temple. He saw the deities. And then Babananda the temple president. And whatever difficulties he had later doesn't take away from the fact that he was really an excellent leader in many, many ways. And he's sitting in his room, and it's this big, big brownstone, and his room's a small thing. You sit on the floor, overlooks the backyard. And they're in that, and when they come in, he puts on Jamuna's Govinda album. Well, the Govinda album, which Jamuna is singing. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaha Ambajami. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaha Ambajami. And then after he says, don't you understand? She loves Govinda. And that just struck very deeply, I believe, Hare Krishna, the time. She loves Govinda. Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti. Actually, Jamuna does love Govinda. Tamal Krishnamurti told me that Prabhupada told him that Jamuna had Baba Bhakti. And in her association, I believe it, at Henry's house for the 20th anniversary of Bana Bihari, her deities. And she loves Govinda. So that emotion he's appreciating. Now what's going to happen is, I'm sorry I'm mentioning Gail's name so much, but she has the adhikari because she attends the most classes. And but this is the point that's going to disturb Gail. What Krishna is doing now is, because the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is to explain, it has an objective. It wants to present and promote Raja Bhakti, because in the tradition, that is the Siddhanta or conclusion. And that is the faith of the person writing it who has that experience. And therefore wants to make it clear to the readership. That's one of the purposes of the book. So, therefore this Leela is explained, and part of this Leela is now in Krishna explaining the topmost love of the residents of Vrindavan. And now he's explaining to the queen, Satyabhama. He has to explain now why he was so eager to marry the queens of Dwarka, if in his heart he had this unparalleled love for the residents of Vrindavan, specifically the gopis, who were therefore the recipients of his topmost mercy, which is the highest love for him. This is the ultimate love story. So how does this fit in, that after he leaves Vrindavan, first we try to figure out if he loves them so much, if he loves them so much, if he loves them so much, then why did he marry 16,108 other wives? So that's what's going to be explained now. Of course, these queens of Dwarka, in fact, expansions of the principal gopis. And they have love for Krishna. We already saw that their love for Krishna was so selfless and in such a mood of Mahishi Bhav, of the queens, that except for Satyabhama, the others became happy at Krishna's degree of love, the gopis, and they became happy to see the beauty of Krishna.
Madanapya Tirupminya Vanchatya Pranamochanam Shripasya Vipra Padanad Arti Vigyapti Patrikam.
But from the mouth of a Brahmin, I heard with Nini's letter, which told of her distress and her intention to commit suicide if she could not attain me. So Krishna is saying, well, look, she's going to commit suicide. So he begins to explain answers. And he explains that, well, this is why I married her. She was so intent. She had such love. And listen to Rukmini's prayer. O lotus-eyed one, great souls like Lord Shiva hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and thereby destroy their ignorance. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I become so weak from the severe penances I shall perform that I shall simply give up my life. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may attain your mercy. This letter she frankly revealed to Krishna the distress being caused her by Cupid. So this is another glory of the gopis, that their love is better than this. And look at the extent of Rukmini's love. It's such a beautiful reality of this expression of purity of love. It's a very satisfying expression or very satisfying understanding of reality, that it's somehow or other connected to this inherent feeling in the heart that we treasure and perhaps taint to certain degrees, to the degree of our conditioning. But what this is saying, when it's at its purest, that is the spiritual world. And when it's even more pure, that is Vrindavan. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Wow. O beauty of the worlds, I have heard of your qualities, which enter the ears and remove the bodily distress of those who hear. I have heard of your beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of us, those who see. Thus, O Krishna, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you. Bhagavatam 10:52-37. Confronted with such a determined plea, Krishna could not refuse. Rukmini is present with the other devotees, listening to Krishna's explanation, and if need be, she can verify the truth of the testimony. So we'll finish the class today. When I say finish, another 5 or 10 minutes and leave room for questions. By just reading this section. Mahadushta Nipashreni Darpam Sambharatamaya Anir Krihita Shangrame Vitvaragyam Papasyatam. So I destroyed the pride of a host of wicked kings in battle, took her hand, and carried her off as all the kings watched. So purport says, Krishna is saying, I did what at the moment demanded, and it wasn't necessarily pursuing the deepest pleasure of his heart. Although no doubt their expansions
of Radharani and the gopis, and that's going to be described. They're expansions, but they're not full manifestations. And because they are not full manifestations, Krishna's love for them is not as forceful as it is with the gopis. Asya sandarshanatatam arikena smitir bhavat mahashokarta janakat parama kulatam magam. But the sight of Rukmini made me think back on the gopis all the more, and the sorrow and distress this caused me made me very much disturbed. Commentary: living in Dwarka, Krishna had been trying to forget his beloved gopis. Rukmini's beauty resembled theirs, rekindling within him the fire of Rahaba. They're stimulating even his affection and love for the gopis. In one sense, we can say they are an expansion of the gopis that stimulate Krishna's love for the gopis in the mode of separation. Some 16,100 gopis had, with vows, worship Kadyayani to obtain me, to bring my mind somewhat to peace by seeing a likeness of them. I married the same number of you queens here in Dwarka. Commentary: of the young gopis in Vraja, 16,000 attained Krishna's intimate association. The present verse specifies the number of those most fortunate gopis as 16,100. Although the word cha implies that there were actually more. All the gopis were extremely attached to Sri Krishna, but only some of them earned Krishna's complete satisfaction by undergoing the Kadyayani Vrata to obtain him as their husband. These were the gopis who were most zealously wanted Krishna as their own. Srimad Bhagavatam records their prayer. So this is their prayer. Each of the unmarried gopis performed her worship while chanting the following mantra: O goddess Katyayani, great potency of the Lord, O possessor of great mystic power, mighty controller of all, please make the son of Maharaj Nanda my husband. I offer my obeisances unto you. No one can match the gopis' attractive sway over Krishna, but Krishna accepted his queens as substitute in his pastimes as Dwarka. The principal queens of Dwarka are in fact direct expansions of the principal gopis. Ah, willful woman, please understand. All that I relished in Vraja gave me the highest pleasure. And though the glory of those times has now abandoned me, it still resides in that most worthy place. So he's remembering that, and he's saying, that's where my highest pleasure lives. Even Radharani felt that when she went to Dwarka, saw Krishna, and said, it is the same moonlight night of the month of Chaitra. The same sweet malati breezes are blowing in the air, but I am not happy here. I want you on the bank of the river under the beautiful trees, as I had in the days of my youth. So he's most worthy place. Sometimes people remember that, you know, my happiness resided in college, or my happiness resided when I grew up in this way, or when I used to live in California, or New York, or the farm in Iowa. When submerged in the waves of that ocean of ecstasy,
enjoying the ever-fresh, charming pastimes of Vraja, I was so attracted to each of the all-enchanting residents that I never noticed the passing of the days and the passing of the nights and days. So you get this image of Braj, pastoral. Krishna's going out to the forest every day. He's going out with his cows. It's simple, and the love is very sweet. And the pastoral environment is unparalleled. Later on, there's going to be a comment, how much the Lord's glories manifest varies according to the environment he is in. It varies. And the topmost extent of the Lord's glories manifests in Vrindavan. Or when the Supreme Lord wants to manifest his topmost glories, he manifests Vrindavan. Or the Vrindavan is manifest eternally in a symbiotic relationship with Krishna's topmost glories. Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are Chitrati Chitra, Chitratri Chitra, Ruchir, Viharai. I wish I could sing this. Chitrati Chitra, Ruchirai, Viharai, Ananda Pat, Bodhi Taranga Mangai, Ragasi Shambhatri, Nani, Nani Tani. Tantan Maha Mohana Voka Shangat Chitra Pati Chitrai. Extreme chanting. It's charming and more charming. Rikirai. Attractive by the pastimes. Anand, ecstasy. Patadi of the ocean. Taranga in the waves. But submerged. I was so submerged in that attractive and most charming ocean, the waves of ecstasy of these pastimes. Then, na agashisham, I was not aware, ratri of the night, of the days. Why? Them, tat-tat, with each of them, loka shangat, because of the association. Krishna is saying, because of the Sangha, the association of those residents of Vrindavan, Maha, Mohan, that was all enchanting. I was so attracted, I never noticed, because I was submerged in the top, the taranga, the waves of that ocean, ananda, of the ecstasy of the pastimes, which are chitra, chitrati, chit, which are more and more charming. Commentary, Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are chitrati, chitra, more charming than any other attraction. They can attract the mind of everyone in the universe. Thus the time and place of those pastimes are uniquely sacred. And the spiritual potency of the devotees who take part in Krishna's sports in Sri Nanda Vraja is impossible to measure, for those devotees enchant the Lord himself. Very beautiful, beautiful, sweet. I'll just read the three verses coming up and then we'll start with them next time. We'll start with verse 108. As the simple delight of my childhood sports, I killed various eminent demons. I quickly subdued the evil Kaliya and sent him into exile. And in my left hand, I held Govardhan Hill. I am so absorbed in that ocean of contentment that having to talk to such demigods as Brahma and watch them offer me prayers and homage seemed a painful disturbance. I forgot the work I had to do for the demigods. My
beautiful form, my dress, and the nectarian sound of my flute, never heard before, enchanted the whole universe with overwhelming love of God. So what to speak of how these affected the resonance of Raja, Brahma, Rudra, Indra, Chandra, the Siddhas, and other demigods moving in the sky were overcome by changes aroused in them by the current of ecstatic love, attraction, prema. And Krishna is all attractive. He brings out prema in the hearts of those who are qualified to hear and see his pastimes. So too were the cows, bulls, calves, and wild beasts, the trees, birds, bushes, creepers, and grass. The rivers were overcome, and the clouds and other beings, both moving and non-moving, alive and inert, each of them underwent a transformation by which their own nature changed in just the opposite, out of ecstasy. The rivers stopped. Out of ecstasy, the mountains melted. So we're going to end here. Sudevi and Hillary, for the last couple of weeks, they've been listening, and they're with me in Vrindavan. They're at the Bhaktivedanta College, so sometimes they try to say hello, but they can't unmute. We have your chance. Can you say hello now? Are you on this week? It's usually I get a letter from Hillary afterwards that they tried to say. Anyway, I want to acknowledge you. Thank you for both listening. Anybody else like to say hello?
From Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sudevi. And Hillary, the author.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. It feels like we're in Vrindavan, right?
Well, wherever you are, Maharaj, it's Vrindavan.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you. And Hare Krishna, Jai Radhe. Good. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, good. It's sometimes shy, but that's good.
Maharaj? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Mooney, hi there.
I had a question if there's time, but if not, no worries.
Please, no. Ask the question.
So at the end, you were talking about the way in which Krishna was talking about how, like, his most important, his, like, most cherished experiences were in his past, so to speak, in Vrindavan,
yes.
Like in his youth.
Right.
And
right.
I have to confess that when I hear things like that, it reminds me of, like, old men who remember when they were, like, football sports stars or something.
Right.
Or like a devotee who thinks, like, well, my life was awesome in 1975, but now everything stinks or something. And so,
right.
And, you know,
right.
And so...
Borijan used to comment on, you know, everybody saying the good old days when they used to suffer so much, you know.
Yeah, right. And, yeah,
right.
And there's always a kind of nostalgia. I mean, Yogi Purush once said that in our memory there's a kind of editing feature that we think it was great. But whatever the case is, you know,
yeah.
I remember one really cool thing that I heard the Dalai Lama once say in an interview. Someone said to him, "Well, what was your happiest moment?" And he said, "Right now." You know, and that's like the kind of way a sadhu blows your mind. You know, and I think he was trying to make the point that, you know, your true joy should be in the present moment. So,
right.
So how would you respond to that with the idea that, like, God himself is thinking, well, you know, life was great when I was a kid, but now it's kind of a bummer.
Well,
to put it,
because the whole pastime is presenting that it's actually timeless. And that is the greatest ecstasy, that mood of separation, and that mood of separation manifests into unity. So it's the same thing like with the gopis. They're remembering the days of their youth, but in Varaha Bhav, they're automatically there at the same time. So I would just say it's kind of another dimension.
many, many burdens both you and I have had. And I can do them all, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemies. So it's just Krishna's transcendental nature, and it's us trying to reflect on it from our perspective here. But somehow it's eternal. It's not limited by time. So you can't imagine that Krishna has only access to a moment in time and not all aspects of time. Unless it serves as leader. So the idea here is what happens serves the lila, serves the rasa. And Krishna's always swimming in the highest rasa. And part of the rasa is separation. Part of the rasa is separation. Part of the rasa is nostalgia. These are all emotions. And what it says here is that all these things that we experience here exist in perfection as a service of love and devotion. So, that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Marsh.
Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Vajrade Devadasi.
Hare Krishna. See you at the end of the month. Okay, please.
Thanks.
Program there, those of you in Jersey, on April 30th at Govardhan Bhakta and Vajrade's house. Okay. Vajrade's. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bhav Maharaj, Shastra Das.
Shastra is on my mind. I'm down there. I'm down. Okay? We're coordinated. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow. My friends from Iowa.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I think because the audience is so nice and has such an eagerness to hear, it makes such a nice sangha. Today I was feeling so nice to explain these pastimes and begin to discuss them. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Henry, Hare Bhav. You remember those days, that 20th anniversary at Bun Bihari? That was wonderful.
I'll never forget. Thank you for reminding me.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for class this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you this afternoon.
See you later at the... Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Eka Chakra.
Eka Chakra, we're supposed to talk. What about next week sometime? You give me a call. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Whenever it's good for you.
Okay. I got your number. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks for the class.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Enlivening for me that we have such a nice audience of people. The speaking is inspiration, but the inspiration comes from the audience. One more person? Okay, Hare Krishna.